heart's turned my way. It looks like you're guilty. Now what do you say? I spoke up, Your Honor. I have no defense. But that's when mercy walked in. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case. Called to the stand, God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked in.
I stood there and wondered, how could this be? That someone so guilty had just been set free. My chains were broken, I've been born again. That moment when mercy walked in.
Mercy walked in and pleaded my case. Called to the stand, God's saving grace.
The blood was presented that covered my sin.
Forgiven when mercy walked in.
The blood was presented that covered my sin.
Forgiven when mercy walked in.
Wonderful song. If you would take your Bibles, please turn with me to John chapter 19 for our passage that we read this morning, John in chapter 19. When you find their place, as you're able to, if you'd please stand with me, John 19, we're going to look at verse 16, we'll read down to verse 22, and we'll read this responsively. So I'll have you read verse 16, and then I'll read 17, and then you pick up again, read verse 18. You'll take the even numbered, I'll take the odd numbered. John 19, verses 16 through 22. And let's read that out loud all together on the first verse there. Verse number 16. The Bible says this. Ready, begin. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, the two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. And it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what have I written? I have written. Our Heavenly Father, what a wonderful day it is to be in your house, to hear from your word. I ask that you would meet with us, do something very special in our hearts and our minds. Be with Pastor Becker as he preaches. Give him wisdom and power. Lord, I ask that you bless the reading of your word. Be with this service. Lord, may we make decisions for you. If any here today don't know you as their personal Savior, help them to make that decision to call upon you as their only means of salvation. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Would you take a moment and take your cell phone and turn it to silent, vibrate? That will be helpful. Or just smash it on the ground. That one works too. Don't do that, especially if it's not yours. John chapter number 19, keep your Bibles open as we'll look at the Word of God this morning, of course. Why would you come to church and not use the Bible? That wouldn't make sense. And a lot of churches do that. We're not going to do that here. John chapter 19, as we look at this passage here about the cross. Today I want to capture your attention. I've been preaching this series leading up to the cross these last few weeks. And today we will come to the subject of the cross as we read here this morning. As Jesus, he went to the upper room with the disciples and he pointed out again one that was going to betray him, which is Judas, that all would depart from him. Peter would go and deny him that night. All were about to leave Jesus. They went from the upper room and went to Garden of Gethsemane. I was going to say Golgotha. I knew it started with a G, and my mind was not getting there as fast as my mouth was trying to get there. And they went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and they went there to pray. Jesus left. The disciples went and prayed further and prayed to God the Father and said, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." He went and prayed and came back. The disciples were sleeping. That happened a couple of times. And Jesus prayed so earnestly, so intently, that great sweat drops of blood poured down his face, knowing what was going to come, the cross, the punishment, taking upon him the sins of mankind. They went to that garden, and Judas came with those Roman soldiers, and they came to come and to capture Jesus, and Judas came with that kiss of betrayal and kissed the Savior. Jesus Christ said to him, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" They took Jesus, and there was a little scuffle with Peter, again, either purposefully or not, cutting off the high priest's ear. If he was aiming for the head, he missed. All right? If it was just supposed to be a scare tactic, he missed on that one too. Jesus put his ear back on, and all the disciples fled Jesus that night. He went that night to the trial. Six trials he went through, and he was questioned. He was falsely accused. He was mocked. He was beaten. He was found innocent, but condemned guilty. All that Jesus Christ went through for you and for me, and Pilate, the last of the trials that he went through, and Pilate came to the people and he said, "Who would you rather that I release, Barabbas or Jesus?" And they said, "To crucify Jesus." And he said, "But he's done nothing wrong." And they said, "Crucify him." So a murderer was set free, and Jesus was taken and was heading towards the crucifixion. The purpose of Jesus coming was to be born, to die on the cross to pay for our sins. That's the reason he came. He came for you and for me. It was his purpose, it was his Father's will, and it was the need and the hope of all mankind. The only hope that we had was Jesus Christ to be the full and only payment for our sins. I want to read this to you. Hold with me, if you will, as I read this next passage of what Jesus went through for us. Before being led to the crucifixion site, Pilate ordered that Jesus be scourged, to be beaten. It was a horrific ordeal. In fact, it was so bad the Roman law would not allow Roman citizens to undergo this horrible punishment that he went through. The victim was first stripped of all their clothing, tied to a post with their hands above their head to stretch the skin, making the wounds worse. He was then scourged and beaten by one or two people with a whip that's often called the cat of nine tails, consisting of a handle about 18 inches long and nine leather straps about 6 or 7 feet long. And at the end of each of these straps were sharp pieces of glass and rock or pottery or anything that would do extreme damage to the person that they were whipping. They would tear into the body more and more with each lashing. It would tear apart the body, the muscles, the vital organs. Even the spine could often be exposed and seen clearly. Huge strips of skin would be hanging from the body. I know it's a terrible sight to think about, but that's what the Savior went through for you and me. Let's not try to beautify the cross. It was a beautiful place for our salvation, but to beautify it to the point of not realizing that it was a bloody, horrific event that Jesus went through for us. May we never forget what he went through. According to Jewish law, this beating had to be stopped after 40 lashes. However, the Jews made a tradition that after 39 whippings, they would stop any case they accidentally counted, and they went over one, and they would then receive that lashing themselves. The Romans had no law of such like, so it could have possibly exceeded that amount. After this beating, the victims often would fall to the ground unconscious or sometimes dead at the whipping post. Jesus was then led even further, and they put a robe on him and stripped him off it again, a scarlet robe and a crown of thorns smashed on his head as a mockery of this King of the Jews, as would be placed on the cross over Jesus where he hung. They would jam this crown of thorns on his head, of thorns to 3-4 inches long, extremely sharp, and this robe placed on him, and they ripped that robe off and they sent him off to be crucified. Think about all that Jesus went through for you today. Think about all that Jesus went through, of all the beatings, of all the mockery, of all the ridicule, of the spitting and the beatings that he went through for your sins and for mine. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain, but it washes whiter than snow. I want you to think about the cross this morning. What does the cross mean to you? All that Jesus went through in his life led to the cross. He knew that the cross was coming, and that's what Jesus Christ willingly took on for to pay for the sins of all mankind. For why? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That whosoever means anyone, any single person that looks to Jesus Christ as the full payment for their salvation receives that gift of eternal life. Think about the cross today. Jesus went through the upper room, and then he went to the guard, and then he was taken to those trials all throughout the night. He had not slept possibly for about 36 hours, beaten and whipped. He was 100% man, 100% God, and he was weak and frail in his human form. So what happens next with this cross? The next thing you see in John chapter 19 and verse number 17, and verse number 16, they took Jesus and led him away. And verse 17, it says this, "And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, the place of the skull known as Calvary." They took the cross and laid it on the back of Jesus. Many times this cross was 10 to 12 feet in height, 5 to 6 feet wide, weighing up to 300 pounds. Anyone in great strength would struggle to carry that cross, but much more than that, to be beaten beyond human recognition. You could not even tell that he was a man. And then to lay the cross on him and say to walk several hundred yards to go up to Golgotha. And Jesus, bearing that cross, he fell beneath the weight of that load and beneath the sin of mankind. And they compelled one, Simon of Cyrene. And they grabbed someone out of the crowd and said, "You come carry his cross for him." The cross that we all deserve to carry up that lonely hill. And they carried the cross, if you could picture that. The cross, first of all, was Jesus carrying the cross that was for you and for me. He carried the cross that we deserve, that punishment of sin. In Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death." The punishment that we deserve was death, eternal damnation to a place called hell. But Jesus carried that cross for you and for me. They put it on his back, and you could picture the people lining the streets as they had been howling as a mob to have him crucified. They lined the road to watch him walk that hill, only to ridicule him even more. Grab someone out of the crowd, and Simon of Cyrene comes, and he drags and pulls that cross all the way up the hill, going to Calvary. It was a lonely place going outside of Jerusalem. This also called the Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering. This crucifixion was something that was popularized by the Romans as an extreme place of torture and humiliation for everyone to see. They wanted everyone to see the criminals. They wanted everyone to see the guilty and to watch him die a slow and a painful and a miserable death. And that's where Jesus was going for you. I want you to picture where Jesus went and what Jesus looked like and what he went through for our sins. You think about it as Jesus bore the cross that we deserve to carry up that lonely hill that Jesus Christ also said in Luke chapter 14, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. This cross is not talking about salvation because no one can earn the gift or pay their own way of salvation. It can only be through Jesus Christ. Only through him. But when you think about all that Jesus went through to pay for the full payment of salvation, paid in full. Amen? Paid in full by Jesus. He bore the cross for you and for me. I want you to think about this. Although he bore the cross, paid the full payment of salvation, that we get to enjoy that gift of eternal life, a home in heaven. But Jesus Christ has left you here to bear a cross for him. No, not a cross to pay for salvation, but the cross to bear to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. As he went to go up that hill and as they grabbed Simon out of the crowd, and he literally got to carry and bear the cross that Jesus was going to be hanged on. But Christian, understand this, that although God has saved you, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, trust in him today. There is no one that loves you like Jesus Christ. There is no one that has given their life for you or could pay the full payment of salvation only through Jesus Christ our Lord. Trust in him alone today. But as Simon was dragged out to carry that cross, there was a cross to bear. Understand this, though, although God, Jesus, has paid the payment of our salvation, now as a disciple, a follower of Jesus, there is a cross for you and I to bear. There's a cross to bear to be a disciple. No, you don't bear a cross to get saved. He bore the cross for you. Too many people are trying to pay their own way of salvation. They're trying to work their way and do the good works and go to church and pay the tithes and be a good person. You'll never, ever earn it. You'll never get there. You can go through all the suffering, the trials, the obedience to the commands of God, but the thing is, you'll never be perfect. That's the problem. The Bible says that we come short of the glory of God. You can't get there on your own. He's paid that payment. But after salvation, he's asked you to carry the cross that he has for you to bear. In obedience to the Savior, that he has some tasks and some requirements for you after that moment of salvation. And if you think about it, if Jesus went through everything for salvation for me, so that salvation's a free gift, how could I in turn come to the Savior and refuse to bear the cross that he has for me to carry in my life? Is there anything too much that God could ask for you to do? Church, is there anything too big that God would ask for you to do as one of his disciples? There's not. Not a single thing. Is there a commandment too grievous for me to follow? No, the commandments of God are not grievous. They're not meant to be harmful, but to be helpful so God would bless your life. Too many Christians today don't want to bear and carry their cross as a disciple. We want all the blessings and the benefits of being a child of God, but we don't want to fully be a disciple of the Lord. We want the blessings, but we don't want to give back. That's what many in our country have done. We want all the benefits of being an American, and I'm thankful that I'm American. Amen? We're blessed to live in the greatest country in this world, the United States of America. I wish if people didn't believe that, they'd go somewhere else then. If there's a better country, go there. I love it how you hear about all the famous Hollywood people. They leave the country and they all are secretly and quietly coming back because they realize they had it good back here. Amen? Shh. You can stay. All right? Bye-bye. But as a disciple, we want the blessings. We want the benefits like people want in this country, but they don't want to give back to what made America great to begin with, in God we trust. See, you're saved, a child of God. That's a privilege to wear that banner and that title. But with that title of being a Christian comes some responsibilities as well. No, not to go to heaven, but to please the Lord, to please the Savior. You say, God, do I have to do that? No, you get to do that. You get to serve God and obey His commandments and follow the Lord because God's way is always best. It's always best. You say, well, I don't get to do what the world does. Praise the Lord. And when you don't do what the world does, you don't get the consequences that come with living like the world does. You want to be a disciple, you have to bear the cross that Jesus has called for you to bear. Simple obedience, following the Lord with your life. Jesus, first of all, He carried the cross. Number two, He was crucified on the cross. As you see in verse number 18, it says that He went to Golgotha where they crucified Him, and two other with Him on either side one. I underlined this in my Bible here just a moment ago, and it says this, and Jesus in the midst. Can we pause for a minute? Jesus went to be crucified with others that deserved to be there, right? Just as we deserve to be there as well. But I'm thankful for Jesus that was in the midst of those sinners on their way to a place called hell. Jesus was crucified for them just as much as He was for you and for me. They brought Him up that hill and they went and they nailed Him through His hands and through His feet. They drove spikes through His flesh. They took Him up and lifted that cross up and they jolted it into place. And as you could imagine, it dropping into that hole and it rips at every joint in your body. And as they hung there again, the Romans had made this popular, this ancient brutal form of capital punishment. They perfected this to have maximum pain, humiliation, and a slow death by asphyxiation, by not being able to take a breath, by shock of the beatings that you went through, and extreme exhaustion. The victims were beaten, carried a crossbeam, nailed to a cross, and hung there in shame with a title for the wrong that they had done. And as you can picture over Jesus where He was crucified, was the saying here in all capitals in your Bible, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. They wanted to say, no, say, He says He's the King of the Jews. If you see that in verse number 21, say that He said He's the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. A testament to all the world, this is the King of the Jews. Many had rejected Him and mocked Him. There were some, even in the last moments, that came to trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior at this time. If someone didn't die quick enough, they'd have to pull up on the nails that were in their hands and in their feet in agonizing pain just to get a breath. And they'd go down again. At some point, their bodies, so exhausted from the beatings, couldn't pull themselves up another time, gasping for air till the time that they suffocated. Or they bled out to death in that point. The Bible says in the book of Philippians chapter 2, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He humbled Himself to be made a man, but He humbled Himself to take that punishment of the cross of death, even the death of the cross. What a beautiful picture it is for all mankind that Jesus Christ, with His arms stretched out for all mankind in His love, showed us how much He loves mankind, that God so loved the world. He hung between heaven and earth for you. He was crucified. He humbled Himself. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that He endured the cross. You think about Jesus Christ, He was a man's man. Right? He was a man's man. Of all the beatings that He went through, of all the beatings, the whippings, and all the torture He went through, that He made it even to the cross, that He survived to that point. He endured the cross, the Bible says, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He didn't stay on the cross. He did go to the tomb, but He did not stay in the tomb. But He rose again to be that full payment for our salvation. He humbled Himself. He endured the cross. He went through it for you and for me. Thirdly, today, he had compassion on the cross. While he was on the cross, the soldiers mocked him. The soldiers mocked him. I mean, of all the agony he went through, and they continued to mock him, to spit on him, to ridicule him. The soldiers, as they nailed the nails in his hands and feet as they went by, and they'd say, if you're the king of the Jews, if you're really God, why don't you get yourself down? The soldiers mocked him. People passing by, it was a common trail people would go by. They purposely hung them for everyone to see. People passing by, the Bible says they reviled him. They gambled for his garments in front of him. The chief priests and the scribes, they mocked him. And they said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Can you hear the mockery in their voice? He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. If you really God, get yourself down right now. Again, he could have called 12 legions of angels to come and to destroy everyone to take him off the cross, but he stayed there to be that full payment for our salvation. What a wonderful God that we have. They mocked him, the soldiers, the people passing by, the chief priests and the scribes, even the thieves next to him. You'd think they understand what I'm going through. Again, 100% man and God at the same time. He felt all the torture there was to feel, all the ridicule, all the shame there was to feel. Even the soldiers, the thieves next to him, it says the thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in their teeth. If you're really God, get yourself down and us as well. Mocking again and again and again. How did Jesus respond? Think about the Savior today. In Luke chapter 23, Jesus said this, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Of all that Jesus went through, and he said, Father, forgive them. Remember the howling mob when he was going to be crucified, and they said, crucify Jesus. They said, his blood be upon us and our children. His blood is upon us, church, today. Although you didn't drive the nails in his hands and his feet, he went through that for you. Your sins nailed him to the cross just as much as mine did. And he looked around and wasn't saying, Father, forgive them, the physical people that he saw, but even those here today, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He responded with forgiveness. Even one of the thieves next to him in the book of Luke, at first they cast the same in their teeth of, Jesus, get yourself down and us as well. And then one of the thieves, he turned to the other and to the Lord, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Even Jesus on the cross was still pointing others to salvation. In his moments of extreme agony and rejection and ridicule, he turned to one of those that was just a moment ago mocking him, and he said, Lord, he changed his mind in the last moment. It's never too late in this life. If God is still giving you breath and life, it's never too late in this life, but someday it will be too late. He turned to Jesus and he said, remember me. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Jesus' response on the cross, he made seven statements. We won't go through all of those today. He made seven statements on the cross, and a couple of those was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He was still pointing souls to salvation in his last moments. Jesus hung there on the cross. There was 3 hours of darkness on the face of the earth. Jesus would then say, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he yelled out, it is finished. And he gave up the ghost. It was finished. Salvation's plan was finished. He would then go to the grave and rise again, and the blood applied on the mercy seat in heaven. salvation's plan, it was finished. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that? I'm thankful it's done. Jesus paid it all. It's done, not due. He did it all, so you don't have to do anything but receive that gift, calling on Jesus Christ alone. Jesus on the cross had compassion. He had compassion. Although he could have given judgment, rightfully so. Although he could have been angry, rightfully so. He could have said, you had your chance. You've mocked me one last time. Even the soldiers, when he gave up the ghost, said, truly, this is the Christ. They started changing their decisions in a moment. That's the mercy of God. That's the mercy and the grace of God, that those that put him on the cross, like you and me, are the ones that he turns around and with a stretched out hand, that nail-pierced hand, and says, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Do you remember that day of salvation today? Can you think back to the day that you trusted in Christ as your only Savior? See, salvation is not in a church. Salvation is not in a religion. It's not in any good works. It's not in your upbringing or your experiences. Your salvation is in Jesus Christ alone, period. Nothing else added to it or taken away from it. He is the only way to heaven, not a single other thing. Not Jesus plus you. I want to say this nicely. God doesn't need you to get you to heaven. You can't do it. He paid it all. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He had forgiveness, compassion, even on the cross. A couple of closing thoughts is this. The cross is a picture of God's love. What an amazing love. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. For God so loved. Do you realize that? Let me say it again. For God so loved the world that he went through it for you and me. He died for sinners because of his love for you. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. No one has given as much as Jesus gave for you to have eternal life, only through Jesus. For God so loved. It's a picture of God's love, and it's also a picture of the punishment and the payment for sin. As cruel and bloody of a punishment that Jesus paid with those whippings and beatings on the cross, he did that so you wouldn't have to go to hell. So you don't have to spend a second and a lake of fire for all eternity. It's as real as you and I are here today. The Bible says, appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. You stand before God, and God's not going to say, were you a good person? Did your good outweigh your bad? Did you have Baptist in the title of your beliefs? He's going to say, did you trust in Jesus? And that's all that matters. Did you trust in Jesus? If you did, heaven for all eternity. What a wonderful place that's going to be someday. For those that reject Christ, it'll be hell for all eternity. Waking up in a lake of fire, eternal damnation and punishment, prepared for the devil and his fallen angels, that God does not want you to go. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He went through it for you so that you don't have to go through the punishment yourself. How foolish would it be to say, well, I've been a bad person. I probably deserve it. Well, you and I both deserve it. But you don't have to have that punishment. You don't have to go there. Would you call out to God today? He loves you. He died for you. He wants to be there in heaven. You to be in heaven there with him. With head bowed and eyes closed this morning, no one looking around. The Bible says, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Think about the cross today. Can you remember that day you turned to the cross? You turned to Jesus as the full payment for your salvation, the only hope of eternal life. Do you remember that day where you trusted in him? What a blessed day that was. Born into the family of God, eternal life, all at the moment you trusted in Jesus. Have you thanked him for it lately? Have you thanked him for that eternal gift of salvation? But then secondly today, is there one here today that's never trusted in him? You've rejected him, and maybe you've been trusting in your own way and good works in some way. Would you trust in him alone with head bowed and eyes closed and no one looking around? Would there be one here today that would raise your hand without anyone looking? Please, no one looking. You'd raise your hand and say, I've never trusted in Jesus, his death, his burial, and the resurrection as the only way of salvation. Would you slip your hand up so I could pray for you? With no one looking, would you slip your hand up quickly and put it down? I'd love to pray for you. I won't call you out, won't call you forward. I'd love to pray for you. I hope and I pray and believe that means that everyone in the room is saved today. That would be what a blessing. Let's thank him today. Let's live for him today, and let's tell someone else about him today. With head bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet as we begin the invitation time? Lord, I pray you'd speak to hearts and lives. Capture our heart today with the cross.